Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long, and we're joined by the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. First day of padded practices, so, man, we're going to go right away.
Finally.
Finally. Bobby's Notebook, which is brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. And, Bobby, just listening to Kellen Moore and everything that I've been able to see, defensive line in day one of pads, day one the battle, overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And then you could see, like Godshaw, strong and powerful. I guess that's how I would describe him. Don't we have a pretty good center, Mike? I would say so, right?
Yes, you do.
And then he says, man, let me tell you about Godshaw. He's so freaking strong. So that's when, you know, you can occupy blockers, not necessarily making the tackle, but your linebackers could flow and make the tackle. And you're not getting blocked back into the linebackers. But, Mike, I look at this. Okay, our defense dominated, okay, so to speak. So what does that really mean? I mean, to me, there's nowhere to go but up. The Saints can't get much worse than they were last year defensively. Look at it. The Saints ranked 25th or worse in total defense. They were 30th. Rushing defense, they were 31st. Pass defense, they were 27th. Sack percentage, 25th. Now, scoring defense, you know, that can matter. Bend but don't break. It wasn't much better because we used to being in the top 10. You know, I always say if you can give up, I don't know, 19 and a half points or less, it used to be like 17. No, then you should win those type of games. But scoring defense, we end up being 19th. So not we were hovering around the middle of the pack. Well, when practice started, I thought, is this a run period? Are they just going to, you know, it's team. Now, it's not 7-on-7, it's team. And is it, are they going to run every play in this team drill? Now, it took like till the sixth play through, they threw a forward pass. But the first five running plays, first four, stuff. I'm like, oh, good for the defense. What is that saying about our offense? Our offensive line got to come together. And, Mike, we've talked about this. By them not being in pads and not necessarily going 2 days, I think the unit that it has hurt the most, how we practice today with the collective bargaining agreement, is the continuity, which you don't have on the offensive line.
That's true.
You know, to me, I always like, look, unless you're Deion Sanders or you unbelievable, like Bo Jackson, whatever, don't you have to practice something to get better? Don't you? You yeah. might say, well, you're a pro. Well, it's pros against pros. I still think how you communicate, how the offensive line comes together, that's where I think I've noticed the last handful of years that the offensive line play. Now, I'm not talking about the Eagles. No, everybody wants to be like the Eagles' offensive line. We're the two best tackles in football, that, well, at least in the top five, play with the Eagles. So you look at that offensive line. What happens, they end up winning a Super Bowl. So that's what I think you miss with the continuity. But on the fifth play, that is a good sign, you know, because you want the offense winning some, defense winning some. Kendre Miller. Kendre Miller, nice two cuts, not one cut. Mike, showing that vision, two cuts plus 9 yard gain. Whoa. I think if he could stay healthy, he could be that guy, and the Saints want him to be that guy. So we're not leaning so hard on Alvin Kamara, that can happen. Then Devin Neal had an opportunity to run the ball. He stuffed, but he fumbled. They're not even taking it to the ground. Oh, don't do that. You got it going back in the line now. You put that ball, football has to be like gold. You put it on the ground, now you're going back in the line. So Devin Neal, he got stuffed. He ended up fumbling. It was actually the play of the day, and that same drill they continued. Now, Shuck was that quarterback in the beginning. So Shuck started that first play when they were really handoffs and all that. Spencer Rattler came into the game, and I thought it was a beautiful pass. A play of the day, Spencer to Rashid Shaheed, end up beating Quincy Riley. You know, who are we counting on? A 40-yard pass down the sideline. Wasn't that bad of coverage. I think it was just a great throw. And then Spencer had scrambled on one time, and I don't know, Dante Pettis, you're trying to make the team. And he catches a few balls. He's like a Mason Tipton. They always involved. They're like all airline highway. But he dropped the here you got Spencer scrambling. He ends up dropping a pass. You got to be able to catch that. Now, Devin Neal did bounce back. He had a nice run. Now, Hayner's in there. It had been plus 5 yards. But, Mike, you know who always showing up? And now he needs to show up middle to late August before we for sure go to Irvine and then at Irvine, because he was unbelievable, if you remember last year, is Mason Tipton. You might say, well, Mason Tipton, Bobby, why do y'all bring up his name a lot? I don't know, because he catches balls. He's now in his second year from Yale, the Ivy League school. He's 5'11", 187. He can run. He can run like the wind. But, Mike, a couple of catches he had, one from Hayner, one from Rattler, like 12-yard gains. I don't know. First down, Saints, you're moving the chains. So I'll look at Mason Tipton in that regard. Now, I think you're going to see more of this in the preseason where, okay, we're trying to run the ball and obviously stop the run. But let's say from an offensive standpoint to help the quarterbacks. Again, I'm looking at the running back room and the depth there. Okay, who's going to be the workhorses in preseason? Mike, I already know right now. Okay, this guy from Delaware, Marcus Yarns, if I'm pronouncing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's 5'11", 19, the rookie from Delaware. He's a Delaware Blue Hen. He showed nice vision. He had a plus 15-yard run, but you know who had two good runs? And it ain't his first rodeo. Mike, this is his third year in the NFL. How you pronounce that last name, Charlie? First name, V-E-L. I know I could say Jones. Valus Jones Jr. He's 6 feet, 200 pounds. Boy, Mike, a couple of nice cuts. I'm talking about like plus 7, plus 10-yard gain. Now you have to look, okay, who's in the rotation defensively when he's doing that? And, you know, he went to University of Tennessee. Like, he's going his third year. He's with the Carolina Panthers. So I could see those two cats, when the quarterbacks are handing off the ball, watch for Marcus and Jones Jr. Getting those opportunities.
And, go ahead. Bob, one of the things I'll bring it back to, which you started with, and this was last week. I was talking to Pete Jenkins, who's got longtime ties to Davin Godchaw, coached him for a year and a half at LSU. And he told me one of the things I do with Davin is I break down every play he's in the year before. And I talk to him privately about it, and I tell him bluntly what you screwed up and what you did good. And his thing is, you know, Davin, even at his age, he can not only occupy blocks, but he makes the play. So he says, not only I think is he a guy that can tie up a couple blockers, he can also get to the ball carrier, influence there. And he said, there's going to be someone that's going to benefit because of what Godchaw can do in the middle. I think that guy's going to be Carl Granderson.
Yeah, and we talked to Carl Granderson today. Boy, he's so mature as a football player. And I didn't realize, Mike, he said, no, I know how to drop in coverage. He goes, I played outside linebacker in high school. Yeah. And you know, how his weight has fluctuated depending on the position that he's playing. He's disciplined enough. He says he likes that pasta, the Cajun Cannon restaurant. So I said, yeah, keep going. he was the one, you remember when we
I remember that.
And he goes, Christian had asked him, okay, well, where do you go eating all that? And he goes, I like to go eat at that Bobby Hebert's restaurant.
realize you were right next to him.
And Chris said, that's him right here. Oh, and he's looking at me. And then, you know, and then he figured out, he laughing. Now he goes, now I know it's Hebert. I've been in Louisiana long enough, you know, and stuff. But you know what, Mike, the word is about with Godchaw, that this is from, like, McCoy, who's one of the best centers in the NFL. You better get your hands on him quick.
Yep.
You know, and that's because you won't have a chance. You know, that initial quickness and that punch and how that leverage you're trying to get. Because he said, if you late to the party, so to speak, coming off, no, then you're not going to have a chance because he's too strong and powerful, that being Godchaw. But that's the way he thought, like McCoy saying, how can have an advantage against him, the hand placement and getting on him quick, where I'll have a fighting chance, you know, to block that kind of guy. And that's reason why, Mike, he's so valuable, and he was valuable for the Patriots, and the Saints were targeting him. You know, because you have to have a space heater. And if you got a space heater in that middle and that 3-4, and when you look at the base, that can not only occupy blockers, like you say, but make plays also. That's why he's lasted so long. Mike, is this a fair assessment? Wouldn't you say how he's matured that, I mean, he was a good LSU player, but he's a better pro than he was at LSU. Is that fair?
It's not even a question.
Yeah.
He has been a better pro than he was, and there is some maturity that even he, Davin admits to. Maybe, you know, I was thinking I could play defensive end, but, you know, Coach Pete was, no, you better inside. You're a better inside player. And I do think the one thing with playing defensive line inside, you better be not only above average leverage player, you better be a great leverage
elite.
Player.
You got to be elite. Yeah.
You got to be at the tip top because that guy's every bit as big and strong as you are along that offensive line. We'll be back with more sports talk and more of Bobby's Notebook right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettigy along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We believe in the power of being everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. If it's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, us here on Sports Talk, and the local content you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. Let's go back to Bobby's Notebook, and it's brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Cannon, I'll ask you about the quarterback play today.
Yeah, Mike, just a lot of inconsistency. Now, I mean, that stands to reason you're going to have that. None of these cats have even won an NFL game. But I asked Coach Kellen Moore in the post-practice conference, we talked to him. And all I know is that when I'm watching 7-on-7, now, you want your quarterback to make quick and rational decisions. I remember I always used to pray. Not to win or lose. God, help me to make quick and rational decisions. So we're in the film room. I could tell you why I did this or that. And they're like, I don't know. I just winged it. That ain't good as a pro. You can wing in your backyard. You can do that. Or you can just ad lib. And Caleb Williams is learning that. That he better not just wing it with the Bears. Ben Johnson, I have no patience with that. Now, if you're productive, then you're productive. That's the bottom line. But looking at, it was like 7-on-7 drills. And I'm comparing now the best of the best when you got Tom Brady, Drew Brees. How many times do you think Tom Brady and Drew Brees would scramble on a 7-on-7 drill?
Never.
Never. Never. I'm not talking about now and then. Never. The ball's coming out somewhere. So I'm looking at like Shuck scrambling on back-to-back 7-on-7 thing, and there's no pass rush. Now, Coach Moore, when I asked him that question, goes, well, we kind of wanted the continuation because there will be situations. You know, he brought up like whether it be like Dak Prescott or you know, his situation with the Eagles, that the quarterback could extend plays and make plays that way. But all I know is that's never good when the quarterback is scrambling. Now, I don't know. I said I was going to save this. I'm not saving. I don't have enough patience. I just think right now what I've witnessed, now it's just the first day in pads. Bobby didn't even play a preseason game. And I was telling Charlie this. What I could see happening right now, and I don't got no inside scoop or I'm not a prophet. I just look at like history and what occurs and how you're trying to develop a young quarterback. We could be the poor man's version considering where Tyler Shuck was drafted. Drake May and the Patriots. Bobby, what do you mean? Okay, let me tell you. Drake May, everyone's all excited about Drake May to play with the Patriots this year and how promising he looked last year. You know, Drake May didn't play till game six. He didn't start the season. He played game six against the Texans, a really good defense. Texans always have a good defense. And they end up losing that game. So, I don't know. I think Rattler could be thrown to the wolves again. But if you Rattler, you got to look at the glass half full. Well, here's another opportunity for me. But if Rattler's winning, hey, he's the man. You keep playing. But I could see the plan that Rattler would start against the Cardinals. So let's say I don't know, month and a half, like six games. Kind of like what the Patriots did with Drake May, even though it's a different coaching staff. And then, well, it didn't quite work out for Rattler. You know, like what I mean by not quite working out, let's say you 1-5 or you 2-4 or depending on the quarterback play. But let's say you hovering around, you 3-3 and Rattler's hanging in there tough. He's making plays and then you don't necessarily make a change. So I just look at when Drake May got his opportunity with the Patriots, I think that's going to dictate very similar with Tyler Shuck with the Saints when he gets his opportunity. And I'm just saying Spencer Rattler might be the sacrificial lamb because this team has to come together, new scheme, new coaches and all that. And look at the expectations from a national perspective, and it's just business. This coaching staff, they invested in Tyler Shuck. Now, look at all these coaches on the staff. They're not no high draft picks, but they got opportunity to play in the NFL. So they're going to say it's an open competition. But I could see a scenario where, and in practice right now, if I was coaching all that, I would say based on what I've witnessed so far, that Spencer Rattler, if we had to play the Cardinals, let's say now we don't, we still over a month away. If we had to play the Cardinals, I'd say Spencer Rattler is the quarterback. And Spencer Rattler has to look at that as an opportunity and trying to get his first NFL win. And then you just go from there. Because it's all about opportunity. And it's not going to be etched in stone that once Tyler Shuck's the quarterback, that he stays the quarterback. No, you got to produce. But Mike, I could see a situation very similar how the Patriots treated Drake May, considering where he was drafted compared to Tyler Shuck. And then for sure, they want Drake May to work out, and I think he will work out as a young quarterback, a highly skilled quarterback with the Patriots. But right now, what I've witnessed, and only one pad in practice, and you look OTAs and, you know, in the minicamp, and then the first practice and all that, I just look at the decision-making, and again, I go back to quick and rational decisions. And sometimes, and you can't be double-clutching, I think right now with Tyler Shuck, Mikey's like afraid to throw that pick or something. Or not just, hey, you just got to let it rip. You know, you have to have confidence in what you're doing. And your initial read, you got to be fast. That clock has to be in your head. You have to know where all your checkdowns are. Because that's what Drew Brees and Tom, I'm not saying you got to be Drew Brees or Tom Brady, but they always knew that. And even if, to me, this is a better play on 7-on-7. With no pass rush. Even let's say that you're getting rid of the ball quick and you're going through your progressions, even if when you're trying to check it down, boy, that was a great coverage. Even if you throw it in the ground, but you're going the right place with the check down. You know, you're not all of a sudden running around like with your head cut off. Oh, let me just try and ad-lib. Now, that's good you can ad-lib because when they have a rush, then you can extend plays. And there's no defensive coverage that could cover forever. You know, that's why the defenses and defensive coordinators, they hate to play like Lamar Jackson and all. Because you can have the right defense. No, we had the right defense called, and everything's all aligned. And then Lamar Jackson is Houdini. How in the hell he got out of that? And then he makes a play. Well, then you got to chalk one up for him. Well, I don't think we have those cats on this team. So you got to be able to make plays in the pocket. And you still, there's still, it's not just always the running quarterback today. Well, why do you think Matthew Stafford is highly thought of, or even the Jared Goffs of the world? I'm not saying they're statues, but they don't run around. They know where to go with the football. And I think that's where I'm looking right now with the quarterbacks. If I'm totally honest, you know who's more poised as much as anybody? And he didn't even laugh a whole game. They bench him at halftime as a Hayner. Hayner looks more poised right now to me than Tyler Shuck. And he's making plays. He's keeping up more with Spencer Rattler making plays than Shuck is. And you might say, well, that's too cruel of a statement to make. I'm just going by what I see and the confidence that I see and what comes about. They had, okay, I'm going to go in this. And they had, for instance, I'm going to look at Shuck. And I had right here in the plays that it was negative plays. Okay. So, okay, for instance, it wasn't all bad. For instance, he starts out, they were doing situation like 3rd and 3, and then guess what wasn't good, too? This reminded me of Steve Trapillo, and I'd be yelling him in the huddle, come on, Rook, you can't be jumping off sides. Kelvin Banks Jr., it was 3rd and 3. What illegal procedure. So now it's 3rd and 8. It's a lot harder to make 3rd and 8 than 3rd and 3. So all of a sudden, he's behind the 8 ball. Now, this is a nice pocket awareness by Shuck, but you got to do this a bunch of times. Not like once in every blue moon or 2 out of 10. It was 3rd and 7. Shuck stepped up, hit Rashid plus 10. First down, Saints moved the chains. Good step up in the pocket. But then he had 3 passes that were not accurate. And then there was a 3rd and 3, and it was an easy throw. This is like a high school throw. I don't know. I don't know if he freaked out, whatever. He just like threw it in the ground. That's the kind of stuff you cannot have. And then these are not necessarily people that are going to sack the quarterback. Then he got sacked by Saunders and Shepard. So that was the roller coaster you don't want to be in as far as playing the quarterback position.
Bob, one of the things with quarterback, and I think you brought up a really good point about Drake May. And, okay, he sat out, what, a third of the season?
Yeah, but Mike, he didn't start off till weeks, yeah, six, right.
And watching him games like 6, 7, 8, and 9, one of the bad habits he had, and he didn't do this at North Carolina, he'd walk right into the teeth of coverage. Okay, his initial guys covered. He'd pull it down and try to take off with it and try to buy time, and he walks right into the teeth of coverage. Where he got better, the last 3 or 4 games of the year for the Patriots, he stuck in the pocket, and the ball was coming out, and it came out, Bob, almost a second quicker. Now, you think about, say, a second quicker, that's nothing. No, but when you only got, what, like 3 seconds?
Three and a half at the most. It's like you have a clock in your head like 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and the ball has to come out. Yes.
And so when you can shave off almost a second of getting rid of the football, that tells you now you have kind of understood what the pro game's about. It's getting the ball out quick. You find your read, and you trust in yourself that you can get the ball to the receiver.
Well, you get it into your playmaker's hands, and they make you look good. Mike, that yak yards after the catch, that's the reason why that was invented. And I think Kellen Moore's going to do a good job with this with Rashid Shaheed and even Chris Olave, Brandon Cooks and all, where, okay, you caught the ball. People think, oh, it's 3rd and 7, you got to throw it beyond the sticks. No, you don't. I'd be shame on the receiver if it, you know, you got it. That's what Eric Martin was awesome. If it's 3rd and 7, so what? You threw it a yard, 2 yards, but he fell forward for 2 or 3 yards. First down. You continue to move the sticks. That's why, I mean, people think got to throw like bombs away. The bomb is pretty, but that's why you look at Ben Johnson going over from the Lions to the Bears, why he's being so tough on Caleb Williams. No, that's good. You can ad-lib and all that, but let me tell you right now, you got to make plays in the pocket. And the offensive line always knows where you're going to be, so they know how they could set the protection. Now, if you take off and run and make plays, that's all lanyard. That's all extra. But you have to be able to make plays in the pocket. That part of the game has not changed, and that will always be a big part, especially at the NFL level.
That's all for Bobby's Notebook in this section. We come back more from his notebook right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Bobby's Notebook is brought to you by Rouse's Markets, celebrating 65 years and we're just getting started. Bob, every day of practice, I have heard glowing talk about one guy every day, Rashid Shaheed. Charlie and I spoke about it so much in the offseason. He's the one guy I looked at that, man, you know, if he can get a little bit stronger, come back from the knee injury, because you know Olave's going to have his targets, and he's a very good player. Just hopefully he can stay healthy, and you're always concerned when you have multiple concussions like that. But Shahid seems to me to be the guy that, man, when you really need something, hey, throw it to me. I got it.
Well, Mike, I wish that was always the case. Let me tell you what happened. But like I said earlier, Spencer to Rashid plus 40 yards down the sideline. Great throw, but it was, you know, great catch. He hung on the ball. They beat Quincy Riley. But there was a case in point. Now, it was a deep ball to Haener. I mean, a Haener to Rashid Shahid. And but it was a contested ball. You see, to me, Rashid was ticked off, too, because he thought he should have caught it. It wasn't a pretty pass.
Okay.
But him and the DB, but Mikey still should have caught. I mean, go up and be that difference maker and make the quarterback look good. You know, I always say that.
Coming from a former quarterback, yeah. No shock to me.
So I'm looking like Haener is like, come on, you got to make a better throw than that. But because he was tracking the ball, Rashid was better than the defensive back, but he didn't come down with the catch. So I see, remember, though, like if you're bigger or taller and you go up like getting a rebound.
Did he not high point it right?
No, Mike. Okay. That was the thing. And he was frustrated because he knew that I should have had a touchdown on that. So that was the only thing. So when I look at Rashid, I still think that this might sound like blasphemy too. I think Rashid might have more upside than Chris Olave. How he's more good developed. Chris Olave can run, but Rashid Shahid's faster. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the chunk plays. So I think Rashid, who's going to benefit as much as anyone with the yak on the Kellen Moore's offense, the yards after the catch, throwing under the sticks and getting those extra yards. Even Brandon Cooks realized that we have to utilize, and that helps out the quarterbacks even doing that aspect of the game, being able to get those yards after the catch. Now, Chris Olave could say that I don't mind going across the middle. I'm not affected by the concussions that I've had. But deep down in the back of your head, and the one thing you got going for them, they can't really lay you out. That doesn't mean they won't lay you out. They'll get a penalty, a significant fine. But that has to be in his mind. So I would trust, even in traffic, when you're trying to actually get yards, Rashid Shahid or Brandon Cooks even more than Olave right now. Now, Olave will make plays and get open. He runs precise routes and is outstanding in that regard. But to say that, Chris Olave is going to say, I'm coming across the middle, throw me the ball, because I forgot who told me this. It might have been Steve, that at the Sunday practice, that Chris Olave made a nice play down the middle, but Reed would have lit him up. Now, he was like almost given the lights out situation. Now, I don't know if it would have been lights out because you can't really hit the receiver, but if you're trying to separate him from the ball, maybe you take an angle where they can't call a penalty and it's still a significant hit. So when I look at that as far as how you try and attack the defense and move the sticks, Mike, and you know what has to happen? The offensive line has to really mature and gel and be the strong point, not only on the offense, but the team. I think to keep us in games, our offensive line has to be like, whoa, that's a pleasant surprise. How they all playing together and getting the job done to help the young quarterback, whoever it might be, whether we're running or passing the football. Because that could be, if the offensive line sucks, there's no way in hell we're going to have a better record than we had last year. I can tell you right now.
I agree.
For us to win, and I'm saying, I think we're heading in a good season. If we win 6 or 7 games, that's because the offensive line played well and we could count on them. But if that doesn't happen, it could be a long season. But I think they're going to come together. That's one thing. I'm welcoming the pads because they get to come together and grow as a unit. And like I always talked about, that we talk about this, how practice is structured now. They can't really come to practice, develop as a unit because they don't practice blocking. Yeah. If you don't have the pads on, that's not practicing blocking, even though you're working on your footwork and hand placement.
Yeah, one of the things is, you talk about offensive line play. You know you've got a really good offensive line is when I'm running the ball and you know I'm running it and you can't stop me. The Eagles did it.
Oh, yes.
Remember the first game with the Lions and the Chiefs last year? Chris Jones is watching from one of the suites, okay? The Lions at the end of that game was, man, we ain't throwing the ball. We running it, and I dare you to stop it.
And that's the that's the most humiliating thing in the NFL when you know they're running and they're still getting 4.5, 5 yards a run.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. When we come back, we're going to have our telephone lines open. Rhett and James will go to you at 5:10, and at a little after 5:20, we'll have on with us Chris Lowe, senior writer for ESPN.com, covering college football. Give us all the lowdown as college football is right around the corner. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.